Good morning, comrades. You're listening to WHI, so this is unacceptable behavior.
You were going to get them for free, and then you're just so greedy.
We're spilling lemonheads in the studio. We can't even get through the... Now they're on
Robert
the gross floor.
Did not tell me when he went to our local gas station that he was getting lemonheads. And so, really, it's his fault. All his fault.
The original sin lies with you, apparently.
Are we actually...
We're recording it.
Okay.
So anyway, let's... Let's do, bring us in 3, 2, 1. Good morning, comrades. You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning, Comrade. Good morning, comrades. How are we doing today?
I'd be better if I had more lemon heads.
Why'd you drop the lemon heads I gave you on the floor? You dropped them on the floor because you were reaching and grabbing.
All right, it's getting
like
very, okay. It's getting very contentious in here.
Grabbing from the poor. We're just trying to give you the labors of
From what I understand, any sort of criticism is
that's
now
sexist.
It's just straight up misogyny.
Why are you attacking your wife, Erin, in a misogynist
way? Why do you hate women?
Don't even try that, because just like Bernard, I am king of the posting wars, and I know never to back down, never apologize, no matter what.
I never log off.
Like Shaggy said, it wasn't me. Even if it was, it wasn't me, because when you start apologizing online, and everybody knows that online is real life, then
if you die online, if you die online, you die in real life. If you die while you're posting, you die in real life. So anyway, we got Jeff and Robert and Erin in the studio. What's happening, folks?
Well, the world seems to have been imploding.
Yeah, it's good to be in the same room with y'all recording again.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like we pod faded a bit, but it's just because the holidays and everything's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, my mental health has been bad. So, but here we are.
Why is your mental health bad? Do you want to talk about it? Or?
Well, I mean, I feel like I just, again, just for all of you who can't see me, just this.
She's
wild,
gesticulating in every
wild
direction.
Wild gesture mm-hmm. to indicate the world.
She's doing so, but she's also very tired, so she's lazily gesticulating in every direction.
I slept literally all day, because that's what MLK would have wanted for me.
Yeah. We could talk about speculating on what he would have done.
Yeah.
I actually do want to spend some time on that.
No, I just have been bummed. I know I say this so many times, but this is like an actual true thing. I need to get off Twitter. It's like ruining my life, because I just... My default is that everybody is reasonable and has good intentions, and that if you just like show them that
they're
incorrect,
website.
That they will come to a better conclusion. Mm-hmm. And just seeing so many white women who are getting their PhD just be like, just use the most woke language to be so incredibly reductive and disingenuous and like racist themselves.
All right.
Really,
let's dive right into this. Let's go.
Since it is, I'm sure you can barely hear me. But since it is like for a couple more hours now, MLK Day, you're mm-hmm. listening to this on Tuesday, we're recording on Monday. I just want to get this out here for the people in the back that might. I know I'm preaching to the choir. If you're listening to the show live, or you're listening to it over the radio or on
wherever,
online, like obviously you're on the team that can sit with us. Like you might have some weird takes, but everybody is allowed to have weird takes.
We don't have weird takes.
I don't have weird takes. Back into never apologize, never back mm-hmm. down. I call it the alt left playbook. Is that we're going back into that? Is that we all can agree that like MLK was a socialist and he was completely political and he wasn't a guy who was just like, let's everybody all get along. Like that was never his intention. That was never where
the point was never nonviolent.
Yeah.
The point was winning.
The reason why I say this, it makes me so mad. I mean, it does every year. Like weird right wingers always like quoting MLK or like, I've seen libertarians quote MLK. Like he definitely was a socialist, and so I had
actually,
to go.
He was a free market entrepreneur, like fundamentalist.
Oh my God, no, that's like a legit take. I've seen people have.
I mean, it's not a legit take. It's a stupid take.
No, I mean it's the legitimately make. Real. Like mm-hmm. you're not like making a joke. Like mm-hmm. The man has been so whitewashed and like had his actual message, his actual things that he like lived fought, like, and was murdered for, like, just completely whitewashed over. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not even a racial connotation when I'm saying whitewashed. I mean, it's completely like the ruling class. Yeah, de-radicalized.
I was actually just thinking about this today because there's, like, I mean, if you go back and if you look, I mean, Martin Luther King was constantly, like, supporting labor unions, and he was always, like, the March on Washington was the march for on Washington for jobs and freedom, right?
Correct.
And so the last campaign that he was working on when he was murdered was the Poor People's Campaign. He opposed the war in Vietnam. I mean, you say it every year at the same time, like, at the same time of every single year on Martin Luther King Day, you have to get up and you have to say, actually, Martin Luther King was not, like, a respectability politician. He was not Bill Cosby.
I mean, what's really set me off this year is that I had to go to an MLK function for work. And it was cool, whatever. And there was, like, some goofball hack, like, local news dude asking people, like, oh, what is your dream for America? And I was like, I hope this guy doesn't try to talk to me. I really do. And I heard him say to some woman, he said, oh, make sure whatever you say, nothing political. I was like, really, don't come. And like right on time, this guy just eyeballs me, comes running towards me. And he's like, oh, do you want to talk? I said, I heard you, man.
You're a black guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like. He's like, I heard you talk about, you said you didn't want anybody to say anything political. I don't know how to talk about MLK and divorce him from politics, because that's what he died for.
Is
a political movement. He goes, well, you know, we shouldn't be doing that because you know how people are, and we got to look. I said, stop.
What does
man.
That even mean?
I know. I go, stop. I'm not apologizing. That's even worse. I'm not apologizing for this man's message of why we're here. I mean, I don't mean to ruin your day, but I don't have time. I don't have time. Like Bernie said to New York Times editorial board, I'm allergic to the BS. I don't have time for this. I'm at work too, bro. Mm-hmm. Like I'm on a job right now and having to deal with you. Like, no.
Unless you think we are, you know, twisting MLK's words to suit our own agendas or that we're interpreting things that he was more leftist than he was. Here's a direct quote from Martin Luther King Jr. We must recognize that we can't solve our problem now until there is a radical redistribution of economic and political power. This means a revolution of values and other things. We must see now that the evils of racism, economic exploitation, and militarism are tied together. You can't really get rid of one without getting rid of the others. The whole structure of American life must be changed. America is a hypocritical nation, and we must put our own house in order. That he said that in 1967, excuse me. And yeah, that sounds pretty radical to me.
Yeah, I would recommend everybody check out the Cornel West piece. He posted it in 2018 in The Guardian. Maybe we can link that maybe on our social media. But he wrote a piece called Martin Luther King Was a Radical. He Must Not Sterilize His Legacy. It's always great to hear from Brother Cornel West. I'll just kind of go a little bit, you know, into that if y'all don't mind.
Yeah.
So, neoliberal revisionists thrive on the spectacle of their smartness and the visibility of their mainstream status, yet rarely, if ever, have they had a mumbling word about what would have concerned King, such as U.S. drone strikes, house raid, and torture sites, or raised their voices about escalating inequality, poverty, or Wall Street domination under neoliberal administrations, be the president white or black. The police killing of Stephen Clark in Sacramento may stir them with the imperial massacres in Yemen, but the imperial massacres in Yemen, Libya, or Gaza leave them cold. Why? Because so many of King's fans are afraid. Yet one of King's sayings was, "I would rather be dead than afraid." Why are they afraid? Because they fear for their careers and acceptance by the neoliberal establishment. Yet, King said angrily, what you're saying may get you a foundation grant, but it won't get you into the kingdom of truth. So essentially, what he's basically, all of U.S. foreign policy right now, Martin Luther King would be against it.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think it's up to us to sit here and try and interpret his legacy, but it is so disingenuous to me there's so many people who are using the language, like I said, of wokeness and just ignoring anything that doesn't fit their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's been going around kind of this idea that, you know, you have to solve racism before you can deal with any sort of class issues. And while I definitely agree with obviously agree that, you know, racism would exist separately from classism, just the way our society is structured. Mm. You also can't, you can't divorce the impact that poverty has had on racism and how, yeah, you know, people who are experiencing racism when they are also poor have less recourse than people who are not poor and experiencing mm-hmm. racism.
There's a multiplier effect. Like, a race, yeah, race has a multiplier effect in a certain sense. Not maybe, like, directly across the board, but like, people from more marginalized identities are more acutely and more, in certain senses, more broadly impacted. But the raw numbers are a little bit different. At the same time, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but at the same time, poverty is felt, like, through the poor people of any race. It transcends all of the race. It's just that there's disparities in the percentages, right, of the different identities, be it racial identity, be it sexual identity, gender, all the way down the line. Now, the thing is that that people need to be, like those are, there are material differences, at least in the scope, or at least percentages of people who are coming from those backgrounds who are in poverty and the intensity of that poverty, et cetera. However, they all experience that poverty nonetheless, and there's a commonality in that.
Well, sure. So I don't think any of us are arguing against that.
And no, but I guess what I'm arguing against is not you, yeah, but the people that you're arguing against. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just, you can't even have that conversation with them, though, because it's like, once you...
It's not real.
It's not a real... It's not a good faith argument, because they never offer any sort of alternative. No, and I know I've talked about this before, but it's like, I've been to a lot of anti-racism training, mm-hmm. and I got so frustrated with so many of them, because we stop. It's like, okay, well, now you recognize your privilege, and, like, good luck.
We win.
And I'm like, okay, but, like, cool. So now I have now I know what my privilege is, mm-hmm. as much as I can know. But, like, what am I supposed to do with that? And they're like, well, you'll figure that out. And I'm like, mm-hmm. but I still don't know. And, right. like, it wasn't until I started getting involved with groups like the DSA that they were like, okay, this is how you can material put your privilege in action to, you know, help others. So I just, mm-hmm. this idea that, like, somehow acknowledging racism or being, like, the loudest person to call racism out is, like, the best thing as opposed mm-hmm. to the people who are, like, doing right. stuff.
So,
like, I don't know.
So I guess the
I mean just to say, like, and I want you to keep going, but I want to try to break this down to its base, because this sounds like a lot of the arguments, like, not arguments, but the discussion we had when we had Ben Burgess on. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that, like, if I was to sound clip this, we can do both. Like, we can walk yeah. and chew gum at the same time. It's not a zero-sum game at all. It's just like, so yeah, say what you're gonna say, but I'm just like, this is a good conversation. This is a good place. This show is a good place mm-hmm. for nuanced conversation. But just, like, when you're talking to somebody who has, and like Aaron says, like, you guys both say, like, it's probably disingenuous, like, depending on the person. But, like, you say, yeah, we can do both.
Yeah.
Like, and one doesn't cancel out the other.
Yeah. Well, and I was just going to go on and say, like, you do have to determine when you're having a conversation with somebody who's acting in good faith and when they are not, when you get, like, the Zerlina Maxwells of the world who are just, like, decided, or whoever the woman that said that, like, Bernie Sanders makes her stomach churn, skin or if you crawl, support, yeah. yeah, skin crawl, or if you support Bernie Sanders, you must be a sexist. They're not there to push for any kind of justice. They're there to protect the status quo. They're there because they are served by the way things are. They're in the positions that they're in because of the way that things are. So they have an interest in maintaining that status quo, keeping it intact, and using language like the language of race or racial or social justice, and weaponizing it to maintain that status quo and making everything not about the movement, like the broad movement of people, of working people, of poor people, etc., but it's about making it about individual purification and making sure that you say the right things. And if you don't, boom, you canceled.
Yeah, that's something that I have been finding really fascinating about the whole conversation, is there is a lot of talk about kind of personal victimhood. And it's often by pretty privileged women.
It's isolation is what it is. It's putting it one-on-one, isolating, and then...
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it's like this weird thing where... Because, like, the personal is political, and I do mm-hmm. agree with that, but it's... it's like being extrapolated way too far. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been seeing a lot of women say that they feel triggered by Bernie Sanders or triggered by Bernie supporters. And they'll talk about that, and which, you know, could be 100% true, because triggering is a deeply individual response to trauma. And so when you're treating someone who has experienced trauma, you are helping them learn how to manage the triggers and mm-hmm. then hopefully lessen the triggers. You are not changing the world so that the triggers don't exist anymore. And it's this weird, like, thing that they think, okay, well, I personally find this to be bad, and therefore I must be correct, and mm-hmm. everyone else is just
make space for me.
Mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's this, I don't know, it's this really weird dynamic, because it is, I have generally been seeing it come from white women, but like specifically white women that used to support like Kamala, like, so they're very much like using the terminology of like, oh, other people are racist, or, mm-hmm. you know, I am supporting, you know, I am inclusive, I'm this, I'm that. But I'm like, if you actually read what they're saying, it's pretty tough. Like, I just, there was one where a woman called, Nina Turner, Goebbels with bad hair, like that Goebbels was, and then like, and then all of the
holy,
all of the responses to that tweet were like, "Yes, queen," and like clapping emojis, and I was like, "That feels,
yeah,
that feels incorrect and racist and right. anti-Semitic." And when I and said something about yeah. it, and I was told, "Well, it's definitely not anti-Semitic." I was like, okay, cool. Well, glad we like,
yeah.
And glad we covered that.
And plus, it's like, if these people who claim that they're like doing the woke thing or whatever, but it's a who said this? Was it a white woman?
It was a K-Hive.
It was a white woman that's saying that
I don't know who it was.
Okay, so
white or not?
Okay, so I don't mean to go into make speculation.
Here's some examples. Here's like two real world examples I've been kicking around in my head thinking about it. So you talk about this, yeah, this whole woke culture of like, and we'll get to. Obviously, you don't know where I'm like, we're bearing the lead. It's like the Elizabeth Warren, like trying to shiv Bernie. And now everybody's like, well, you know, it's time to, well, not everybody, but just like woke social media, like the quote unquote, like the woke Democratic Party is like, why don't you believe women? Like, so that's where we're getting to.
Okay, so we're going to get on the other side of Station ID. You listen to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. So let's go ahead and set up what happened if we're going to go ahead and do that.
Well, let me get this out of my head real quick because mm-hmm. it'll go away. But just two things that pop into my head real fast are the examples of this are, remember not, you know, 8 years ago when Michelle Bachmann was running for president?
Yeah.
Where like all of woke social media and all of woke media, like it was a gag on The Daily Show. Now it was a double whammy. Not only like came for her.
Not The Daily Show.
For like legitimate reasons, because she's a, like a legitimately bad person, mm-hmm. but they were ad hominem attacks. And then they came after her husband as saying that he was secretly gay. Yeah. You remember that?
Vaguely. I do remember that she was like one of the, she had a lot of wild shit going on.
Right. Sorry. Right. But but my point is though, like all the things that wouldn't, that just like supposedly don't fly on the woke left.
Yeah.
When they can be like the targeted against other people. And then the other, oh, you're like, mm-hmm. well, it's Michelle Bachmann. She's a really bad person. Oh, okay. Yeah. So when AOC endorses Bernie Sanders, all of a sudden they're
coming for him.
Woman of color and, you know, a person of color and a woman, all of a sudden she's trash too now.
I see that happen to, again, another woman of color on the left, Bree Joy Gray, who's the press secretary for Bernie Sanders. She gets so much crap online.
They're really awful.
All the time.
But it's this weird dynamic that if you don't subscribe to their very rigid set of views on race and sexuality and gender,
it's very then you are.
But yeah, I want to read, this is like on my Twitter timeline right now. This is a person who has like over 20,000 followers, is getting their PhD, is like a liberal Dem. But all they right. tweeted, if you say that the Democratic Party is tantamount to an EU center-right party, you are not only erasing xenophobia, but also the role that POC have played in preventing the Democrats from flirting with nationalism in the way some center-left and left parties in the EU do. So essentially, this person is saying that if you question why the Democratic Party is not further to the left, even though much of its base is further to the left, then you are somehow erasing the contributions of people of color and... Yeah. Being xenophobic, like that's a disingenuous
That's to say nothing of actual material things the Democratic Party does, which is essentially just play to their job. Their entire job is to say, actually, we don't have any ideas. We're here to sort of defend what's here from getting worse. We're here to slow the degradation of our social programs from the Republicans who are coming at us really hard. We don't ever play offense. We only play defense.
I think that's super generous. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say, in my most cynical, I would say they're just there to be an opposition party and not to actually do anything.
No, they're the good cop.
Just say, yeah, exactly, the good cop. To say, here's your choice, take your leave.
Yeah, well, I was actually just having a conversation with somebody about this, about how, exactly. You're immediately starting in the position where you're not even making demands. You're starting from the point where you're making concessions, and that's you don't have anything that you stand for in terms of actually advancing anything. Like the ACA is another. I mean, we talk about the ACA all the time. That was a program that didn't actually democratize. It did in the sense that like Medicaid got expanded, but it basically like solidified the insurance companies as their permanent and forever. We're never going to move beyond it, and people are just going to always be cashing in on people being sick, right? And so instead of pushing for an actual program where you would have guaranteed coverage by the society that you live in this case, it would be the federal government. They basically, it was like, no, that's off the table. Obama gave it up immediately. I think Rahm Emanuel got in his ear and he said, actually, don't do that.
What is the deal with Rahm Emanuel? Like, why is he still around? Why was he ever around?
Because he's got power, he's got connections, and he gets money. He gets money. He basically is the representative of the financial, like, Wall Street wing.
Someone's like, Rahm Emanuel, I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy.
And plus, he's a party operator in a certain sense.
The worst. I don't know. I just, like, Jeff and I, you were and I were having this conversation kind of offline this weekend about kind of the Democratic Party and I know, like,
Not even nationally. I mean, local, we were talking about in Louisiana because Aaron and I are both running for Democratic Party local office. Oh,
yes, that's correct.
Throw it out there.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Mm-hmm. So, district. I'm running in District A, and you are running unopposed. Is that correct?
I'm sashaying. I'm not running.
I mean, yeah, barring.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
barring some deep skeleton in your closet, you're going to be the nominee, huh?
I checked in my closet. The skeletons no skeletons are well. There. No, they're well hidden.
Well, I know it's just so.
I'll keep them in my basement.
We talk about the DSA a lot on here, but yeah. I want to make it very clear to everybody listening that I was not always. I was like very willing to work with the Democratic Party, and I like to make that clear just because they have driven me from the party. Like I did not start off anti-establishment. I started the Young Democrats in my high school growing up. Like I am a vote blue no matter who. I campaigned for Kerry. I worked polls for Obama. Like I've done it, right? Mm-hmm. I have done it. I've been involved. I've been a part of the party. I went to school for political science and international relations. Like I did it.
Real glutton for punishment, you.
I know. And so that's why these arguments feel so disingenuous to me and the reason I kind of switched from the party is because in 2016, my ideals aligned closest to Bernie Sanders. I had deep, significant issues with Hillary Clinton as a candidate, specifically stemming from, and a lot of that, I know it's not fair, but like her husband's positions on certain things, which she was involved with. And then also
she was just as much of an operator as he was.
That's the thing. I'm like, it's somehow she's like a boss lady, but then when you suggest that, you know, something she worked on with her husband, you're like, oh, why are you blaming her for her man's actions?
Applied. I mean, if you want to just talk about her, if you want to just forget all that stuff about when she was first lady or whatever, and all the stuff that she was involved with then, I mean, you can basically just say that she was the person that advocated for the invasion of Libya, right? And she literally was on TV and she said about Muammar Gaddafi when they murdered him in the street, which I got no love for Muammar Gaddafi, right? But she basically said,
you're going to alienate our tanky listeners.
I got no hate. I mean, I got no, like, whatever.
I got no love, but I got no hate either. We're riding neutral on that one, huh?
Whatever. I mean,
I'm just joking, dude. Come on. You're really seriously sweating.
No, I'm not put him on the seat about Mohammed.
No, I was basically going to say she came up and she said, like, we came, we saw he died. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which
basically
is like
talking
totally
mad trash about him being dead. And basically saying, like, U.S. foreign. Like, she was hugely responsible for the invasion, the coup, rather, in Honduras, right?
Yeah.
She was
not great. She was like, she and Bill were both pretty close friends with Papa Doc. Duvalier, who, if you're not familiar, please look it up. He murdered a lot of people. The way she spoke about her husband's accusers, who, if you look that up too, because I know we all know about Monica, and that was consensual, even though it was gross. But he had two
they
other women.
Her ass, though.
Oh God, they did. But there were two other women.
We're now bringing back the drag Hillary hour.
Anyway, so I bring all that to say, I have a lot of issues with Hillary as a candidate, but just the implication that I was somehow like a gender traitor, which I got a couple times. The fact that I don't have my head, I'm not in the real world, that I don't understand politics, that I somehow, you know, I'm not part of the party and I never was part of the party, that my master's degree in social work is somehow not real, and that I'm a bimbo, an airhead. Like, oh, I'm just voting for Bernie Sanders because I want boys to like me.
We're all bimbos, you know, all of the things.
And
that was Gloria Steinem.
Steinem, who, and it breaks my heart. It honestly breaks my heart because I love Gloria Steinem, and it's this idea. So, I mean, essentially, I kind of looked at the Democratic Party and I looked at the reaction that apparently I was all of these things because I was supporting a candidate who was closest to my ideals, and I was like, okay, well, they don't want me. They just don't want me here. Like, I am not welcome in the Democratic Party.
That is true, though. That is true. They don't want any uppity, like people who know what's actually happened, like that actually want change. They're there to prevent change. They're there to guard the left flank of neoliberalism.
Yeah, and it's just sad because we do live in it's a two-party situation, right? And
it's like a one party with, like, two factions.
I know, and it's, like, so frustrating to me because, again, it's... I'm also somebody who understands that I'm way left of center. I'm more left of center than many people. So I was even saying, like, when we were talking earlier, like, I don't begrudge Amy Klobuchar and the Amy Klobuchars of the world. I just don't want to have to vote for an Amy Klobuchar every single time. I want somebody who actually, you know, it actually has my same viewpoints. And then if, as a country, we have decided that I am a lot farther left than center and, like, other people agree with someone else, then great, I'm willing to accept that. But I'm not willing to accept that when media trashes the left candidate,
right?
When, or they just ignore them altogether, when apparently some local, was it Bay Area, Channel 7 Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area affiliate, who are you? Who would you vote for? Warren, Biden, Klobuchar, or other?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's awesome.
Other was winning by a landslide when we last checked.
and then when they tried to say, like, well, this is how we came to that, they're like, well, other could represent, and this is literally what she says, and I quote, other could be Yang or even Cory Booker. So that's where
Cory Booker, who is no longer in the race.
So it's Bernie plus nothing.
Yeah. Did someone call Cory? He looks like he's polling at 33% at this point.
I know. In California, it's a lot of delegates.
So anyway, to circle back.
Yeah, why are we talking about this?
So to circle back.
Just for me to rant. I need this. Give me this.
But to put a bow on this part. And then we'll kind of, like, move it on after just kind of in another section. It kind of, what you were just describing about, like, a woman in the, you know, Democratic Party or whatever, that sort of, like, getting, that you step out of line, so you get sort of, like, castigated and pushed, like, extra, like, you get vilified extra for being, like, a, you know, gender traitor or whatever. That so reminds me of what we were talking about last time about Natalie Contrapoints. And how she kind of got all this trash. Even if what she was saying, like, was legitimate or whatever, even if you grant that, which I'm not necessarily willing to do, to, like, stipulate that what the criticisms that were being made of her were all legitimate and good faith. I'm not willing to make that stipulation. But if we just set that aside for a moment, the abuse that she got online was just so bad.
Oh, yeah, it was
bad. It's just so much. And it's, like, it's hard not to see a comparison, like a parallel here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, you are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. That was a fun time, a little ranty time. This is Good Morning Comrade.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad for that people who know better and who have the stated ideals that they want to help.
So
are so disingenuous. Or I'm even willing to be kinder and just say that they're ignorant and uninformed, which is actually the kinder viewpoint at this point, because it's, I'd rather be ignorant than disingenuous, but I really don't think they are. I think this is a coordinated.
No, they're there to
attack. Yeah.
Yeah. They're there to create the realities, right? They're there to create the edges of what is possible. They're there to set they're there to fix the realities, and they assert Medicare for all will never happen. Why? Basically, if you examine it, then, you see that it doesn't hold up. But if you just take what they say at face value and say, oh, well, I guess Medicare for all is impossible, then, which most people will do when somebody in a suit or whatever, when it's an authoritative position who's got status, they're basically making an argument based on authority. It don't matter what the fallacy is. If people listen to it, they're going to roll along with it. What needs to be done is people need to be challenged on that. And that's the problem. People, they often go along without getting challenged. Anyway, let's move it forward to the debate. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like they just ignore facts. Because, for instance, you brought up the Medicare for All. And the second largest physicians group in the U.S. has endorsed Medicare for All as the proper system.
Not possible. Not real. Not possible.
I mean, are we just not trusting the people who actually work in the industries that we're so terrified that they're all going to lose their jobs?
Tom Perez says that it's not possible. Joe Biden says that it's not possible. Okay.
But the American College of Physicians says it is.
I'm ready to go in on Biden, though, because he has been, and it finally.
Talk about the whole debate?
Yeah.
Let's just.
Yeah. Finally. He is, Sanders and, to a much lesser extent, Warren, significantly lesser extent, they are attacking Joe Biden for his entire career.
Which there's a lot. There's a lot there.
Well, his entire career of trying to cut Social Security and Medicare. 40 years, this dude's been trying to, cut Social Security and Medicare, trying to find a way to make a deal with the Republicans to just completely betray the working class that he claims to represent.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a well-documented history. Mm-hmm. It's not like you could just Google Joe Biden, Social Security, and a bunch of stuff will come up.
And also, unfortunately, during the debate, this didn't come up. This has been coming up since the debate, because what happened at the debate, Robert?
I don't know. I mean, I figured you would go into it. But
so, okay.
Because I want to just rage out, but I figured you would
rage
set it up.
Okay, so I'll set it up.
Last Tuesday, the time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and go.
So it actually started before that. Over the weekend, there was some kind of a letter that was supposed to go out to volunteers that had some fairly innocuous and factually based criticisms, I suppose, but it was mostly just a way to differentiate between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, that to people who were canvassing or phone banking. So it was like a FAQ, right? If somebody asked me what to say when these volunteers get the question, well, why I like Sanders, but I like Warren too. What's the difference? The point was to say that actually Bernie represents the working class. He's got a documented history of it, and Elizabeth Warren has a bit more of a spotty history, just the gist of it, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of how forthright she's been and how representative of the working class and her entire view of politics, which is that the most intelligent, smartest people in the room can all come together, and her supporters are disproportionately white and disproportionately well
secondary education.
Yeah, well educated. And Sanders' base's entire campaign in mass movement and activating people and bringing them in and creating volunteers and building structures and organizing through that kind of a network, which is a very clear and factual difference. And then the response from the Warren campaign after this was posted in a Slack channel for volunteers, and it was taken down, was that literally Elizabeth Warren comes out and says, I wish Bernie would stop trashing me. I wish the Sanders campaign would stop trashing me. So anyway, fast forward to like the next day, which is like, I think Monday, the day before the debate, the Warren campaign comes out and says that in a private conversation that Warren and Sanders had, somebody leaked this to CNN. In a private conversation that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren had in 2018, that Bernie had said to Warren that Bernie did not think a woman could win and like become president. And that was how it was reported by CNN. That was what it said.
Here's the part that's like was most ridiculous about that is that, well, they didn't report any context. And I'm not trying to be like, well, have you read the whole book or have you listened to every episode of the podcast, guy? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even trying to say that. It's the reason why there has to be context there is because that statement on its own makes no sense. It makes no sense. Not even
just isolated.
Not even in a Bernie wouldn't say that. It makes no sense of two people even talking. Mm-hmm. That's like me saying, oh, actually, you know what? This just happened. So I actually had Elizabeth Warren herself. Like, you know how you can donate to Liz? Like, I've donated to Liz. Mm-hmm. She actually called me on the phone and said, is this Robert? And I said, yes. And then she called me the N-word. Like, on the phone.
Which N-word?
The N-word. Wow. And then after that, she said, have a good day, and hung up. Now, I can't talk about it anymore because privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to respect her privacy, so I mm-hmm. can't give you any more details about it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what her campaign was saying. Mm-hmm. That, oh yeah, Bernie said a woman can't win, and we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because it was a private conversation. What sense is that? That doesn't even pass the slightest of smell tests.
So it's messed up for a couple of reasons. One, no context, like you just said. Two, because I mean, so we can get into that first, but two, if this is a private conversation, how do other people know about it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with like, oh, somebody told the staffers or whatever, she, mm-hmm. yeah, the staffers are reporting second and third hand and information. So, yeah, they leaked this bogus, obviously bogus story. Mm-hmm. And on the debate stage, like, we're sitting there in real time watching like 1984 doublespeak, just like I was on my high school like forensics team, like debate team. Mm-hmm. The questioning that CNN had would not even pass like our high school teacher. Well, like the idea of like, mm-hmm. go ahead, no.
The moment, I think I know what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
The question, the way that the question was formulated initially, like the one of the moderators asked Bernie Sanders, did you, like it was a yes or no, did you say this to Elizabeth Warren? Did you say that a woman couldn't become president? And he said no. And then literally the next thing that comes out of the debate moderator's mouth is to ask Elizabeth Warren, how did you feel when Bernie Sanders said
that's like 1984 hell world? Mm-hmm. Like, that is, like I said, that wouldn't pass. Like, why didn't you just ask him, when did you stop beating Jane Sanders?
The entire presumption in framing of the question was that he had done it, and he
people laughed because they knew how ridiculous it was. Mm-hmm. Like, that is going to stick. I mean, that's going to be one of those things that's just like American it's going to be taught in journalism classes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks, who teaches a journalism class at UCLA, mm-hmm. is going to like use that in her curriculum now. Like, it's so blatantly absurd. Mm-hmm. And the reason
there's a lot of believe women and all this other stuff kind of go along with it.
Well, I have three really strong feelings. Now, this first thing I want to say is complete speculation. Nobody has any idea. Nobody knows anything. But this is me just like wargaming, like in my own head. This is what I think happened. What I think was Bernie did have that conversation, and he did the whole like
conversation.
He had the conversation with her and was like, women can't win. No, he said women can't, but it was something along the lines of it's hard for a woman to win because mm-hmm. America's sexist, racist,
or it could even have been more innocuous than that. It could have been something along the lines of like Donald Trump will use
the fact absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yeah, like, we're talking the same thing. Mm-hmm. So this is what I think happened. And then, so what I think, what I think happens after that is they decide to leak this weird thing, right? And it comes out, they leak it to CNN. CNN runs with it, as goofy as it is. Mm-hmm. Fazeez Shakur, his campaign manager, first day it comes out, on record says, video, audio, this is a lie. It never happened. So what I think happened was, Vaziz got to Bernie, and Bernie was like, Vaziz, I don't understand. This is what happened. I was trying to counsel Liz and say it's going to be hard because what we just talked about, it's hard for a woman out there, blah, blah, blah. And then Fazeez is like, Bernie, that never happened. And he was like, well, no, I mean this. Bernie, you never said anything like that. And he just finally went, oh, okay. Because what I think the game plan was, the Warren campaign never thought that dependable, honest Bernie can never tell a lie. He'll always like give you the benefit of the doubt in any situation, would not stand on that stage and go, I never said that. And then once that happened, it jammed up the whole game plan of the trap they were trying to lay for him. Because as soon as he would have said, this is what I said, they would have been like, oh, here's Bernie. Misogynistic Bernie, hates women, and he would have been defending. They never expected Bernie Sanders to go on offense and say, this never happened.
And which he said, and he said it was ridiculous, and he said that like Hillary Clinton had gotten 2 million more votes than Donald Trump. Like, he went like hard.
Right. So that's what I think happened. Now, my other point where I want to rage out is that you got to see exactly, and I did a show, a solo show, like 4 or 5 months ago. I ran and raved about Elizabeth
Early
Warren.
GMC.
And this isn't like an I told you so, but it was just like, trust your instincts.
This isn't I told you
no,
so.
No, it's not an I told you so. Like, trust your instincts, because you got to see exactly who she was. And I was like, Aaron and I have sat in the house and had conversations to where like, this is a sentence that's come out of my mouth. I almost wish Bernie Sanders wasn't running. And just endorse Liz, and that way Liz could just get all his support and win, and we wouldn't be able to have this conversation about who's. Well, my thought was we wouldn't have to have this conversation about old white men, and then we could just all get behind Liz. Yeah, now we know that would have been hell world. That would have been awful, because you got to see where her loyalties lie, how she would govern right there. Going back to what you said about Joe Biden. Joe Biden, who I've been told by everybody under the sun that she hates Joe Biden so much. Joe Biden is the reason she got into politics.
You said that on this show.
Yeah. I've heard this from so many people. You know, when she gets on a stage with Joe Biden, I've said this too, she's going to tear him apart. When Joe Biden took credit for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and she just sat there and ate it.
And not the bankruptcy laws?
Not a thing. Didn't say anything about bankruptcy. Didn't attack. Had no words, no unkind words on fact or policy to say about her enemy, Joe Biden. And then she goes after Bernie Sanders. She would govern like a coward. She would fold.
She'd be another Obama.
If she was a president, if she somehow got through Trump, which I didn't think would ever be possible, she would roll. She would put up no resistance, and nothing good would happen out of it.
Aaron, you got something?
I just had a pretty. I forgot. So when Elizabeth Warren first announced she was running, I was really gung ho, and I've talked about it a lot on the show. I signed up to volunteer for her. I was donating to her. And get obviously, I did not get a refund because at the time I was fine with it. But I was very on board. But I'm someone who likes to take in information as it come and change my opinions as I get new information.
Like a normal person.
Radical, very radical of me. But I just, and to be honest, I knew about the DNA testing. I had not really done a deep dive into her whole history with that. And just kind of a really quick, for those of you who don't know, she's from Oklahoma, and it's pretty common there, I think, for people to say they have Native ancestry. So I was like, yeah, whatever. But then she got a DNA test done to prove, because Trump kept calling her Pocahontas, and which is like,
this came up when she ran for Senate the first time against Scott Brown.
Yeah. And so she got this DNA test, and it blew up in her face, because there's an incredibly long and prolifically racist history of blood purity testing for Native identities. Yeah. And that was kind of a top down from the federal government policy. So the fact that a woman from Oklahoma, who was a sitting senator in the year of our Lord 2018, didn't know about the history, was problematic. But then I did a little bit more of a deep dive, and it turns out she was considered to be the first woman of color tenured professor at Harvard Law School. So the actual, and she was cited in the hiring announcement for the actual first woman of color who was tenured at Harvard Law School. And as far as I know, Harvard has never publicly corrected the record.
Don't hold your breath.
And I will not. But that is deeply problematic. And I'm really tired of the no more old white men people just blatantly excusing somebody. Just Rachel Dolezal-ing like all up over everything. And I don't know. But so I got it. All this to say, I got a text.
Rachel Dolezal lived the life a lot more than
she was down for the cause, at least. but so all this to say, I got a text message that was like clearly the hard ask. Can you volunteer for Warren Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week? And I responded, oh, I'm sorry. I'm actually
this at Burke.
Yeah, it was, I got this. This happened like last Thursday, I think. And I was like, oh, sorry, I'm a Bernie supporter now. Mm-hmm. And so then we did the whole, she was a great volunteer, did the whole back and forth. Well, can you tell me about what issues you care about? We had a very civil exchange. But I was like, listen,
nicer than I would have been.
He aligns further with more to my policies. And then I just don't trust her political, that DNA thing like makes me really not trust her political instincts. And honestly.
And what's her theory of change?
I'm sorry. Capitalism is fine.
It's reformal. I'm sorry. I'm jumping in and interrupting you. I'm jumping in ahead of you. I'm sorry. I'm talking over women.
Yeah. Literally, I should be the only one allowed to talk on this show. It's the least you all could do. It's been a hard, hard life.
Yeah, this show must be hard for you to do.
Life is hard, okay? Mm-hmm. No more white men, and also no more Robert. Is my feelings.
Goodbye.
At least half of Robert.
Rude. Okay, that problematic. No. Problematic.
But to Aaron's like credit, I think when I read that, I actually retweeted it on the Good Morning Comrade Twitter account, which you all should definitely be following.
At Comrade Morning.
Yeah, Comrade Morning. As fun as snake emojis are,
and they're fun.
They're fun. That hurt. That hurt more than a million snakes. A million snake emojis.
What was it now?
The her tweet.
Oh yeah.
Her conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so like even when I look through Elizabeth Warren's Facebook pages, and there's very few people who are just like, I'm one of those people. I think I've tweeted out something like, burn her campaign to the ground and salt the earth. But people who are just like, oh, you know, I liked you. I gave money, but
I thought we were friends.
Yeah, I mean, it's not right what you did with Bernie, so I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was telling Aaron today, as like somebody who's worked customer service jobs, there's like a hierarchy of complaints. So when you get somebody,
how many times did you have to ask for the manager?
Well, no. Actually, okay. So it goes like this. The easiest person to deal with as far as like turning a customer around and keeping them a customer are people who want to talk to the manager, like Karens of the world. So how we can relate that is like the snake emoji people like myself who are just going to rage out, because the idea is if you're raging out, you are emotionally invested and you're like, you're arguing, you're yelling. So that person still wants to be there in that space. Mm-hmm. They want to be there. You can like make something happen for that person. Now the opposite side of that, as far as like the unhappy customer that you don't want to see, is the person that just goes, I'm out.
Not going to come back.
Yeah. And it's the person that doesn't leave a review on Yelp, the person that doesn't post, the person that just goes, this isn't for me, because you can never win that person back.
They're not invested.
They're not invested at all. Mm-hmm. So it's like, people who are just like rationally, and as much as I'm a reply guy, I'm a poster, but people who are like rationally like, you know what? This just isn't what I thought it was. I'm just going to vote for Bernie. Ooh, that It hurts.
It's a sub-zero. It hurts. It's like ripping the heart out.
Yeah.
You can see the moment where Martin's heart gets shattered.
Just bro. Yeah, because you can't even get mad at that person. You can't call that person a bot. You can't call it. You can't say, oh, they're a Bernie bro. They're irrational. They're crazy. It's a cult. They just don't want to sit with you anymore. Ooh.
I don't know. And a lot of Warren supporters are not doing her any favors, because I can't tell you how many things I saw where it was the, because, and then I don't know. Do we mention? Well, that, I keep zoning out again. Well, mental health issues, but
the thing that I saw somebody was posting that was saying, like, in the conversation that Warren had with Sanders, she lived her truth, or she told her truth about it.
Oh, that was like, Amber Tamblyn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Who, like, apropos of nothing, like, David Cross is like a very, like, leftist person, but also has been, like, accused of sexual harassment. So,
like every comedian.
Yeah. I mean, all men. Hashtag yes, all men, again. But no, there's, like, this weird undercurrent of, like, paternalism in a lot of her supporters. Like, I can't tell you, because, like, in the afterwards, when they were having a little bit of a heated, mic'd conversation. Yeah,
didn't shake
a
hand. And
didn't shake a hand. And then
Warren said that Bernie called her a liar.
Yeah, it's
and
a
then
mess.
Tom Steyer's like, I just want to say hi to Bernie.
I love Tom Steyer, as it turns out. As much as one can love a billionaire. But I saw so many tweets that were essentially, like, saying that, oh, Bernie was being very threatening towards her, that Tom Steyer should have stepped in to help her. And I'm like, hey, so that's actually insane. She's running for president. She's a sitting U.S. senator. She can take a heated conversation also, with a person she's been friendly with for a long time. Like, what are you talking? I was like, what is happening?
The default is that Bernie was the default. It was like a default, like, framing that Bernie was, like, being an abuser by.
Yeah.
Like,
so, I mean, there's that. But then there's also the default framing that she is by nature a victim because she is a woman. And right. I think that is a little bit of a difference between, I think, generations. So the older generations have had to struggle against more things. And there has been more of a focus on you need to adapt to a masculine culture in order to make it, as opposed to, kind of, I think a lot of younger feminists are why should we have to adapt? Yeah. Culture should adapt to us. So it's a philosophical
argument. Or create a culture that is inclusive.
Yes. And it's also kind of this idea that, like, you know, women aren't inherently more gentle or,
the maternalism thing, peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I just
and this is after Warren was the one that came on the attack.
That's the thing. It really left such a bad taste in my mouth. I was like, okay, so you want me to vote for a commander in chief who you feel like you needed Tom Steyer to step in to save? Because that feels like maybe not the best choice to me. But
he just wanted to say hi to Bernie.
Who knows? I'm just a little girl. Huh?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen talking heads on TV say, like, I don't know. I have to believe Warren because there's no reason why she would lie about this. LOL, what?
You're right. She did take huge losses in the polls.
You're right. She's just up on stage and running for president for funsies. She's not trying to win and amass power. Like, it's so absurd.
Why are you trying to stop a woman from becoming president?
Why don't we just vote for, again, just why? Where was the support for Michelle Bachmann?
Where was the support for Sarah Palin?
Where's the support for Tulsi?
She's the OG.
That's for real. No, we're being flippant, but that's for real. And as much as we don't like Tulsi Gabbard on this show,
By the way, Tulsi stepped up and defended Bernie.
Right. But, like, where is this support for Tulsi? Whenever
props
you hear,
where
like.
They're due. Props where they're due.
Whenever you hear, like, oh, there's no women, there's no people of color, and it's this old, all white guys, and then there's Tulsi Gabbard, like, right there being like, here I am. Here I am.
Yeah, I think she's Hindu. She's from the island, from, like, Samoan Island, I believe. Okay, Guam.
She lives in Hawaii.
And she's Hindu, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, because she's a Hindu nationalist.
Right.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we don't like her on the show.
I'm not a fan of that.
Anyway. Yeah, she is diverse. Mm-hmm. That is true.
She's a complicated figure.
She's diverse with bad takes.
Look, she can hang 10. She's got a white streak in her hair.
And, she does a lot of CrossFit.
She's probably more anti-war than most of the people in the presidential thing, the presidential campaign. But she's not anti-war.
I will push back on you because she is not anti-war in other places in the country.
I'm talking about more so than Joe Biden, who was for the Iraq War.
I wouldn't even Elizabeth say that Warren, because she's just for war in a different way. And I'm not willing to give her that. Like, I think that cheapens how great Bernie's support or Bernie's stances on war are when we...
He's definitely better than
because they're like, there's only two candidates on stage who are good on foreign policy. And I'm like, excuse me?
No, it's really... No. It's a different it's class. Tulsi. It's not... I'm not trying to say that they're the same. I'm just saying that there had to be somebody like that was less bad on that particular issue.
But that's the thing. They're not... She's not less bad. Okay. That's... So, I mean...
I don't know if we're going to agree on this.
I don't want her in the anti-war camp because she's not anti-war. She's like pro-drones. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I just summoned a dude. I felt like I said her name three times, like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, we're putting
and I just summoned
away.
A demon mm-hmm. up in here.
Anyway, we did not mean to get into that. Anyway, yeah. So, anyway, the Tulsi thing, there are... Not like supporting Tulsi, but like Elizabeth Warren is the only woman running for president.
But that's the thing. The they're not supporting. There are so many people who are. There are a lot of Warren supporters.
Or Klobuchar.
But there are a lot of people who were Kamala Harris fans who are now like super Team Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I've found, have been the ones who have had the nastiest rhetoric surrounding
and
sexism and gender.
Well, and you know what? I think that this was a play by Warren. The attack on Bernie was a play by Warren to get that crowd, the Bernie hater, like woke scold. Yeah,
they don't
element.
Like her. They don't.
Well, it didn't work, but that was the attempt. And it's also like, again, I keep seeing this rather. I don't say it so much, but it seems to me that the not attacking Biden and the coming after Bernie strikes me and it strikes me as like, is she just trying to make a move for like the VP for Biden? Because that's not an impossibility.
He's not doing that.
Or
he's trying to make a move for something, but not.
Or she possibly is worried about, you know, getting called Elder Protective Services getting called on her. She tries to dunk on Biden because he's losing it.
Perhaps. I don't know. Who knows?
Before we go, we're almost out of time. Point is, all these people have been talking to us for the last 2 years now about blue no matter who. And Bernie's ahead in the polls in Iowa, New Hampshire. And I'm going to say this right now. He wins Iowa. He wins New Hampshire. That's going to lead him to win Nevada. Once he wins Nevada, that's going to lead him to win California, which he's way up. Then all the dominoes will fall. Biden's electability will go out the window. He'll no longer see his electability. He's done. And then since we're still on blue no matter who, it's time to make them people say, look, if you're really blue no matter who, stop posting on Twitter, stay out of the conversation, and just get behind. You must vote for Bernie Sanders because he is about to be the no matter who right now. And you either are rolling with us or all that stuff you've been talking about, oh, hashtag resistance, we got to get Trump out, this and that. You've always been disingenuous and just we can't.
It always has been.
We know that, but they're going to have to face that. They're going to have to face that down because we're about to win
please
this thing.
Make these people
we're about
eat,
to win this thing.
Please make these people eat that crow.
I get it, yeah.
Just make them eat that crow.
We're about to win this thing.
Well, make them eat the crow.
I'm a woman, and so any man listening, you owe it to me to make this happen for me. Or else you're sexist and misogynist. So
do it for women.
Do it for this woman. The personal is political.
Aaron speaks for all women.
And I personally feel if you don't support progressivism and leftism, then you're letting me down in a very sexist way.
All right, so you can listen to Good Morning. Oh, you got one more last thing?
No, that's it. I was going to say real quick, it can't be both ways. It can't be either Bernie supporters threw the election in 16 and got Donald Trump elected, or we're just online trolls and have no power. We can't be all powerful and have no power at the same time. If we're all powerful, then you need to get behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, because I'm done bending the knee. I'm done making, it's time for the party, the Democratic Party, to concede to us. I'm through with it. And then we're going to show you when Bernie wins New Hampshire and Nevada, New Hampshire and Iowa, and then moves on to Nevada, we're going to show you. It's time to come to us. We are done coming to you.
You can listen to Good Morning Comrade every Tuesday morning on WHIV-LP New Orleans 102.3. You can also check us out online, goodmorningcomrade.com, at Comrade Morning on Twitter, Good Morning Comrade on Facebook, and all the other stuff. We love you. Bye.
I just side-eyed Jeff so hard.
Why?
Comrade Morning.